Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I am so excited to be talking with Tanis McRae here on the show. For those of you, let me just say a few things because you're going to hear a whole lot more. You know, one of the things I love is that I get to meet people that look at life and look at what life could be about. And out of that, they take this culmination of perhaps their life experiences, right? And there's some decisions that we think we don't make, but we actually do. And it has to do with life and it has to do with experience. But it also has to do with the experience of the deciding factors of who we are in the world and how we are in the world. And those are fascinating because I never thought about them as conscious decisions. You know, there's a perspective that you can have where you think about your life as this is my life and that's it. But if you're somebody like Tanis or you're somebody like me, and I'm not going to speak for her, but I will say this. I have been accused of incessantly talking to myself over and over and over again, talking to myself in the middle of a movie, talking to myself at work, talking to myself getting ready for the show. So much to the point where people walk in the room and say, who are you talking with? Well, that's the question for my very special, you know, co-host for today that has a fabulous show that's all about talking, but talking in a way that I think you're going to find fascinating. So when you're talking with Tanis McRae, and you start to think about the things that are up for conversation and discussion. And you start to think about what you have talked to yourself about in your life and have now become that person that's going to deliver a workshop on healing, on wisdom, on intuition, on walking through shadow. When you're that person, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall with Tanis? Tanis, great to have you.
Well, thanks, Pat. I was so excited to be here.
So I was going to ask you a different question, but I got to start out with this one.
Sure.
What do you make of the people that walk in on you? I don't know if that's your situation. I know it is mine. That walk in on you and catch you in the middle of a conversation with yourself.
Well, mine aren't usually too external. Mine are more internal conversations.
I got to learn that skill.
There you go. I think we're actually in constant, incessant dialogue with ourselves.
That's my word.
That's incessant. And I think that we don't actually put any sort of consciousness to that dialogue until you do. And then the moment you put consciousness to that dialogue, rather than just let it natter away like a background noise, when you're like, wait a minute here, what am I actually saying to myself? Is it empowering me? Is it disempowering me? Is it somebody else's voice? Is it that old voice from the past, that old trauma voice where it was, you know, someone yelling at me or someone putting me down, or was somebody judging me or not tolerating me, or was it somebody who was loving you? No, that's a rare one. You know what I mean? It's a rare thing when that incessant chatter is actually loving.
Yeah.
Until it isn't.
Yeah.
Until it isn't. Until you decide, okay, I'm going to be not just allowing this internal dialogue to constantly be incessantly going. I'm actually going to start to become conscious of what is it that it is saying. And then I'm going to make another conscious decision about whether or not I let it stay in that way. Am I going to allow the voice, whatever it is, allow the chatter, allow whatever's happening to happen because I know it's going to take me somewhere I want to go? Or am I going to edit it? And I'm going to go, oh, well, wait a minute. If I have this thought 1,000 times, which sounds like a lot, but it's not, because your mind is so good at saying, you know, you need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. So I'm just going to keep playing this loop until you become conscious. You're in a loop.
Yeah. Here's the thing I want to ask you about, because I love that we are talking about this. I don't talk about this a lot, but I am going to talk about it at the moment. Benny says I talk about table tennis all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's what it has done to change my life in recent years. I played in my 20s and then I stopped. But even without talking about that, what I realize is when I'm doing what I'm doing now and having this conversation with you, I am completely focused on what you're saying. And I want to tell you, it is the few times that I think I can point to outside of ping pong where my mind has stopped, meaning it's not that I'm not prepared to have this conversation with you, but I'm not thinking about what am I going to ask her next? Do I think it's going to be good enough? What if it's not the right? Do you understand what I'm saying with this?
Oh, 100%. That's the incessant dialogue, the incessant chatter, the monkey mind. People call it all sorts of things. But really, for me, it's focus.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, you know what? I'm having a thought. Why don't I focus on it for a minute and see what is it telling me about me? That's my favorite question in the whole world. Well, what's this teaching me about me? What's this experience? What's this thought? What's this person? What's this idea? What is it teaching me about me? Which is why talking to myself is more an idea of, you know what, there's only me. You know, we hear about the whole oneness thing and everyone's like, oh, we're all one and that's all, it's all beautiful. And I don't mean to sound irreverent because I think it's absolutely true. In fact, I think it's so true that we miss that it's so normal. And so what that means is to me, the person who's talking to me inside my head is me. And then there's all sorts of levels of me. So is it my empowering me that's talking to me? Is it my highest vibration that's talking to me? Or is it my trauma, my suffering, my past experiences? And both of those are immensely valuable. In fact, if I had to pick one, I would say that the lower vibrating one is the juicy one, right? Like that's the juicy one. If I'm hearing that negative mind and then I become focused on it rather than react to it, right? Rather than react to it, just go focus on it and say, okay, well, get curious. That's my favorite thing to say. Like, get curious about it. Oh, what do you think I'm saying that for? Oh, where did that come from? And you use it like a game almost. It's like a game. It's like, okay, well, what's that here to teach me about what's happening right now in my experience? What is that thought here for? And it is a lower vibration, a denser thought, negative thought, whatever word you want to put to it. I don't like to think of thoughts as good or bad. I like to think of them as heavy or light. So is this thought heavy?
Or light. I do the same thing.
Yes. So rather than put a judgment on it, oh, that's a bad thought, that's a good thought. It's more just an observation. So is this thought weighing me down? Or is this internal conversation weighing me down? Or is it making me feel lighter? And again, it's just an observation. But like I said, if it's weighing you down, that's when it's juicy. Because that's when you got something to work with.
Yeah. When we think about these things too, is like we often forget that we have the ability to have a conversation that it will actually give us insight, especially for the you're weighing me down. I mean, you know, the thing for me was I got a discovery about this when I felt so crusted over. I was sitting on a couch and out of it came an entire concept called crust busting, right? And it was the funnest way that I could think about for identifying what was holding me back. And I did workshops all over the place about it, because people were fascinated that I wasn't coming out talking all Pollyanna, right? As a matter of fact, I still to this day get criticized for my opening. I don't know if you heard the intro, the opening intro, where I asked, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? And so many people wanted me to change the word. And I thought, that's probably true for a lot of people, but I've learned a lot from my failures. How about you? What's your life story around failure? Tell us about that one.
Exactly, because that's where you're going to find out who you are, at that densest level. And you can't evolve something until you actually get to the thing that's creating the density, right? And what do I fail at? Life, sometimes, you know what I mean? But I guess it's so far past.
Oh, I do. I know what you mean. I do. Yeah.
It's so far past it. I think that I've learned in the last 10, 15 years of doing this work, internal work. And I know we talk about the external work, you know, the writing of a book and doing the workshops and doing one-on-one sessions. But those are collateral stuff. That what's really real here is that I have never stopped doing the internal exploration. And that's what actually fuels it more. So I don't see failures as the same. I see them as an opportunity to go deeper into my own expansion, into my own growth. It doesn't mean they don't hurt. And it doesn't mean I don't feel bad. And it doesn't mean I don't have all the human experience. In fact, I embrace the human experience of it. Why am I trying to escape being human? It's what I came here to do. So might as well enjoy it while I'm here and enjoy all parts of it, right? So it's not so much a failure anymore as an opportunity. That's what the mindset's happened. That switch has happened in my own brain, so that when I do become conscious, and this is really important, when I do become conscious that I'm having that negative loop or that dense loop, then I can stop, focus, get present with it, ask good questions. And then my favorite part is watch for it to come toward me in my experience. So this is how I usually explain it.
Wow.
So I'm going to make a cake. Okay. So I go to the cosmic pantry and I grab all the ingredients and I put them all together in a certain way, and I mix it up and I put it in the pan and I put it in the oven and I wait. And then out comes the cake, and I let it cool, and I sit and I ice it, and I take a big bite, and I go, oh my God, this tastes horrible. This cake tastes horrible. Look, what did I do? I can't change the cake where I'm taking the bite. I have to look back at what did I put in this cake. And so that's when something happens in my world, something happens in my experience, what we would maybe call a failure or a stress or a trauma. I go, whoa, wait, what did I put in that cake? I wasn't watching. I was paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, isn't it part of when we think about, and of course, we are talking with you about your story, but we're talking about what it is about our stories that help us create something in the world. And how do these conversations with ourselves become the catalyst for that change? And what I love about this is some people may see what you do or what I do as the greatest thing since apple pie. Yeah. Other people may see the cakes that were baking as not so hot. That is not a very good tasting gluten-free cake. That's like awful. But in the end, don't you have to discover a level of self-awareness that helps us evolve ultimately into the purpose or the meaning of purpose that's individual for each of us?
Absolutely. And there's nothing else that will do it other than that awareness. And it starts out just like you do. It starts out in kindergarten and it grows until, you know, as a retired school teacher, you know, I don't see as kindergartens as less or better than grade 12. I see that the grade 12s are further along in their understanding, their understanding of things than the kindergarten. We can't take that grade 12 and put them into kindergarten and say, okay, you know, do kindergarten again, that they'll be bored, right? We can't take the kindergarten and put them into the grade 12 room and say, go nuts, be grade 12. So it's the same with awareness. You start at the beginning and you start just being aware, wow, I'm having thoughts that don't make me feel good. That's the beginning. It's the first one. And I love those ones because they're like epiphanies. They're like a chorus of angels. Oh, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm having a thought and I don't actually agree with it, or I don't like it, or it doesn't make me feel good. Do I have to keep having it?
Exactly.
And that's the beginning of that awareness. And then we grow it. We grow it.
I want to ask you this question, because that leads us on a pathway that some people may call unconventional. So let's talk about this from your perspective, right? You and I both come from, at some point, very traditional backgrounds, right?
Yes.
You know, we actually worked in jobs.
Yeah.
Right? We may not have had a dream or a vision about those, but we did that. Somewhere along the way, you get a new level of awareness that's calling you and begging you to create something. How did that happen for you? And well, what was it like when you told people what you wanted to create?
Well, mine actually came through my mom. So we all have catalysts, and I mean, I have my own catalyst, but really I'm going to say the one that inspired me at the beginning was the story of my mom. And my mom was sick for 40 years, and the doctors really actually couldn't find out what was going on with her. She had all sorts of tests. So she was a celiac. Oh, she was this, she was that. She couldn't do gluten. It's funny about the cake comment. You know, and it was just one thing after another. And she wasn't really sick, but she wasn't thriving. And so finally, in around 2004, I noticed, you know, just standing in a health food store one day, and there was a sign, this new naturopath was in town. And so I'm like, oh, there was just this moment where I'm like, that's where I'm going to take my mom. So I took my mom, and she did muscle testing. And she said to her, you know, you have parasites. You're going to be fine. And my mom said later, she almost fell to her knees. She's like, I thought she was going to say the C word, the cancer word. And she's like, no, you know what? We're going to take care of this. They've just been slowly compromising your immune system. And so my mom went on this, you know, jalapeno pumpkin, you know, anti-parasitic diet. She started taking supplements to do to improve her immune health and let her body fight through it. She also had a wonderful, like, small town doctor who was like, you do whatever you need to do, because I've got to the end of what I can do. And that was really helpful.
Wow.
And so then she just, I mean, within months, she went from eating 12 foods, she could only eat 12 things without getting sick, to on a bus with her friend to Reno to have a good time. Like, I mean, it was a miracle. And then we realized that there was another aspect to her healing. So that was the physical healing.
Wow.
The aspect that was, she didn't remember how to live like a healthy person.
Right.
She only knew how to restrict her diet. She only knew how to time out her medicine. She only knew how to, I only got this 1 hour where I feel like I have energy and then I have to go and sleep. You know, like she forgot how to live like someone who's healthy. And that's when that same naturopath said, you know, there's emotional connections to everything. And here's a book, and it was Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. And she said, here's a book, take that. And my mom took that book, and every day she did the exercises until she was good. And she literally healed herself that way. And I have three brothers and three sisters. I come from a very big family. And all of us got on board, and we're like, okay, if you, we're going to support you in this. So we started delving into it with her.
Wow.
Just go, you know what? We're all going to look at our emotional health here. What's happening in our physical body that our emotional health is going, excuse me, you need to pay attention here. And that was the self-awareness that came in, was that I am actually in charge of my emotional, physical, mental, spiritual health. And that's what actually made me sort of go, you know what? I'm a teacher. I mean, I'm right down to my bones a teacher. And I want to teach this now that I'm getting a sense of how this miracle, this empowerment process. And it's not just to be positive, which is awesome, but to be empowered.
Yeah.
In the true sense of the word.
Yeah.
I am the decider of my experience. And that's where that was it that I couldn't. I was insatiable. I went to every course. I read every book. We worked real closely with my mom, and we still do. My whole family is very awake, if that's, you know, the word we use, very conscious. And so it was beautiful to come together as that group and to really support one another in that, and really just immerse myself in that. And so that was my big aha, my big awareness.
Wow. I'm so glad you shared that, because it took me years to share with the listeners, with my friends. My friends didn't even know how sick I really was. Mm-hmm. Because I don't come from a family that says, wow, you don't feel well. No, I come from a family like, okay, if you're sick, nobody wants to know. So figure out, right? But here's the thing I love about your story, as well as the story I've heard from so many. Something unusual happens. You either find a naturopath, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I could never explain why I paid what I paid after I dialed the wrong phone number in 2003 for my first hour. I could never explain it, but I knew it was so right. I didn't know why. I didn't know it would become a life's purpose. But it became something else. And I want to talk with you about this and ask you about this in the story you told. There's a piece of it that I picked up on. I didn't know that the universe was so much smarter than me, that something would happen 6 months later, April 1st of 04, and my entire immune system turned itself off just like that. And I didn't know that this show and the angel lady, who happened to be a regular and still is, would give me some insight from the angels to find a doctor that gave T3, and I would find Dr. Darvish, who literally has now become one of the top naturopaths worldwide for chronic illness, cancer, Lyme disease. But we took the journey together, Dr. Darvish and I, but I would have never found it. And this show, and then the direction I went down was, I want to talk to more people about this. That literally, this is how the Dr. Pat Show evolved and the network. It was out of a place where I needed to understand this, and I needed to figure out how to get well in the world where others were saying, you can't get well. But what is it about your mom and your family that isn't about the body, that enabled all of you to rally together, to rise up around this? What was it about you all?
Unconditional love.
Yeah, boy, isn't that it?
You know, I didn't know that people grew up for a long time. I didn't know that people grew up without it.
Yeah.
You know, someone said once, you know, I was, you know, getting a session or something, and they said something, well, you are loved. And I said, yes, I know. And they were like, oh, and I'm like, no, like, you don't understand. Like, that was never questioned. That was never a question. It was always absolutely there. I never questioned it. I didn't even know that was possible not to be loved unconditionally. And I said, I'm from a large family. There could be a lot of, you know, stuff going on. Large, and there is. But I'll tell you, I have no memory of there being meanness. You know,
wow.
I know there were stuff, you know, people got upset with each other and stuff, but I don't remember meanness. And my dad was born in 1918. He was in World War II. You know, my mom was born in the 30s. They were quite a distance apart in age, but we didn't notice that. And And there's 21 years between the oldest and youngest in my family. And so my older siblings were like aunts and uncles. I mean, I was a princess. I don't think my feet hit the floor. Tiny and small, and everyone carried me. But we were so loved. And we saw mom and dad loving one another. And it doesn't mean there weren't struggles and there weren't things that we had to deal with. I mean, it's life. But that really was never a question.
Yeah.
Question.
I love what you just shared. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to continue this story because it's interesting that you brought that up. My dad was born in 1917. My stepmom was born around the same age as your mom. So there was like a 20-year difference or something between my stepmom and my dad. And then there was my two stepsisters, and we were all about the same age. But one of the things that was so interesting is what you and I have learned in those families. And I want to talk, when we come back, I want to talk with Tanis okay. about how this then shapes us, how this sense of emotional well-being or not mm-hmm. can shape us into doing great things in the world. And not just Tanis and not just me, but all of you out there that have had a few potholes you've stepped in, maybe a few hiccups, maybe a chronic illness, maybe not. Maybe you cared for somebody that had one. Whatever that point was that you might consider that point of pain, how is it that it also has enormous ability to catapult us into doing great things to help others? I want to hear from Tanis about that when we come back. We'll be right back.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Sanskrit is not just a language to be written and spoken, but it is a doorway to gaining understanding of how we experience life and truth. Conscious Confidence is a book written by Sanskrit scholar Sarah Main. The stories Sarah shares will take you on a journey of understanding how the power of this ancient language is not only still relevant, but can truly transform your everyday life. Drawing upon the deeper meanings behind the Sanskrit words for confidence, Sarah Main outlines principles for harnessing the fourfold energy of conscious confidence: focusing, uniting, simplifying, and energizing. Not just a book, a life guide. Available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Inner Traditions. You can find all of those links on consciousconfidence.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Talking with Tanis. Tanis McRae joining me here today. Look, before we talk about what this is that we learn and the lesson we learn, every one of us, you don't have to be the host of a radio show to be able to learn this and do great things in the world. So many people have done great things in the world from the strangest places. This is all of you listening. We believe that this is you. No matter what life experience has given you, it has prepared you for something. Tanis, before we talk about this, what's the best way, one, for people to learn about the work that you're doing, but also you have some upcoming workshops, mm-hmm. and tell folks not only about the radio show, but we have two copies of the book.
Yes.
Right?
I have it.
Yeah. Talking to myself. So tell us about the book first, and then Benny will go ahead and give two copies away. Tell us about the book.
So this book is the result of a 10-year period of teaching workshops. Like I said, you know, you can take the teacher out of the classroom, but you can't take me out of the teacher out of me. And so because I was so excited about that awareness journey that I went through with my mom and then, you know, with other members of the family, I started offering a workshop called Awaken Your Inner Healer. And it was meant to break that awakening, like to really just focus on that focus, that mental focus, and to realize, you know, I'm not just a physical being. I have an emotion that's attached to that. I have mind that's attached to that. I have spirituality that's attached to that. And by spirituality, I mean beliefs. Not external religions or anything. I mean, just like, what do I believe to be true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I have mental health, spiritual health, physical health, emotional health. And how do I maintain them all? Not just the physical body, but those other ones too. How do I first access them? And then how do I deal with them? How do I flex them? How do I do a workout with them? And then how do I maintain the health of them? And that's what this workshop did. And that's this book. So this book, it walks you through from that awakening, like a catalyst. That's what the whole first chapter is about. Is it called a catalyst? And it's called, interestingly, a white picket fence, because I talk about it in the sense of I lived that life. Like, why would I need to be getting, I don't have a tragic story. I'm sorry. I don't have a tragic story. And I used to think that was a detriment to me, because I'm like, I don't have something tragic, really, not in the big scheme of things. Other people have had such bigger things happen to them. And what I realized, though, is I had a lot of joy. I had a lot of curiosity. I had a lot of turn and face. I had a lot of ability to look at the truth unflinchingly. And I'm like, okay, you know what? That's a good thing to bring to the table.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Bravery, right? Bravery. And so it starts out right from there. And then I just take you right through the process that I took the people who took the workshop. And I remember once I was doing a trade show, and there were 12 of us in the trade show, all in the energy work business. And I looked out, and 7 of those 12 people had been in this class. 7 of those people have found that inner healer, that person who wanted to serve others through their own experience, through their own awakening. And that's what this does. That's what this book does. And I always say, I wrote this book for you, not for me, because I already knew it. But it was like, I wrote this book because I know people are looking for something that's put in a way that's completely understandable. I don't do a bunch of high speak. In fact, one person said to me, it is like you are talking to me in the room. So it's like they're talking specifically to them. And I've had nothing but positive influence from coming back from it. It's like a child.
Yeah.
I gave birth to this and off it went and it's having its own life.
Yeah.
So I hope it finds you, because it's for you. Then if it finds you, it's for you. And I let it do all the talking.
Wow. And we're going to help the folks actually get found by the book right now.
Perfect.
Benny, let's go ahead and give away a couple of copies if we could right now. 1-800-930-2819. We have two copies to give away. 1-800-930-2819. Tennis, one of the things that I think is important to talk about, especially around this, is whether you've had a great life, childhood, whatever you want to call it, whether you've had a great one, uneventful, or a not so great one, whether you've had a life where you've learned things early on and can pay them forward, or whether you've had a life where you've learned things from those experiences, the end game is this for me, and I want to ask you about it, is we all have within us the power to achieve things personally in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't always believe that. So I'm just saying, I was like a total skeptic around it. But the one thing I was given early on was the power to persevere. Not always a great thing, because you hold on to stuff way too long, right? So I had to learn. Mama taught me the power of perseverance. I had to learn from Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. So I had to learn it. But what you're talking about is a way to capture the energy mm-hmm. of possibility. See, that's what I get from your book. That's what I get from what you're sharing. To capture that, what is it about this message and about the book that will help people literally capture that energy of possibility and then do something with it?
Because I believe it's put in a way that it is absolutely relatable to any story, that it's not specific to a trauma or to a life event, you know, like a that other people, you know, they'll expound on their life events, which is beautiful. If that's how you get there, you get there. But what I love about this, and I'm a kindergarten grade one teacher for the most part.
Okay. So
it's about bringing something, a concept in that makes it so easy to understand that it just seems self-evident, right? I remember once I was teaching an art class and for grade one, and there was somebody coming in to observe me, you know, to see what I did in my art class. It happens to us teachers. You know, you get evaluated, right?
Yeah.
And what I was doing is I was actually teaching my grade ones to draw a highway in one-point perspective. So before he met with me before the class, he said, "You can't teach grade ones one-point perspective. Like, that's like high school." And I'm like, "Oh, no, you watch me. I will show you how to make these grade ones draw one-point perspective and not even know that that's what they're doing." And I walked them through, okay, draw a line on this side of the page. Okay, make a dot. Okay, take your ruler, put it from here. And I, by the time they were done, I kept saying, "What do you think it is?" And the grade ones are like, "I don't know. Is it this? Is it that?" And I didn't tell them what it was doing. And then we got, and I said, "Okay." And pretty soon they're like, "It's a highway. It's a highway." And of course it had perspective. It looked like it was going somewhere. They were so excited. And that's what I mean. That's what this is. It's me taking something that sounds so unreachable because it's enlightenment, you know, that big word.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's empowerment, which is another big word. And, you know, somebody who's sitting there going, you know, I'm suffering. You know, don't give me your Pollyanna stuff. I'm suffering over here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, this is why suffering is the best place to start. You don't know yet, but this is your juicy bit. This is your doorway. This is what's going to unlock it. Your suffering is the thing that's going to create the expansion. Nothing else. Nothing else is going to create it as quickly and as perfectly and as efficiently as you're suffering.
Nope, there's nothing. You're absolutely right. Because I had a lifetime. I had an entire lifetime to get it. Right?
Right.
Many, many different experiences in life. Right? I had a lifetime. But somehow, I didn't quite hit the threshold of what you're talking about. Right? That threshold where I would have to stop and say, this is an ultimatum. Right. There is no other Band-Aid option, perhaps, that I've used most of my life. This is where we have to get real mm-hmm. about it. But once we get there, let's say we are there, Tanis, I want to ask you about this. This I found to be one of the greatest misconceptions, right, along the way. I had to learn this for myself. Once we're there, some folks say we have to stay there like a really long time. That has been a concept that I never really understood. Talk about that a little bit. Just because we have a life experience that could then become a catalyst, is there like a rule book on how long we have to stay in that pain?
Anytime energy stops, pain starts. So when there is no movement to anything, I think about it this way. Think of how much concrete, dirt, and size it takes to hold a river back. Like a giant dam, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of energy being expended just to keep the river from flowing.
Yeah.
That's pain. Okay. The river, if we took the dam away and we just let the river flow and we're like, yeah, that's easy. That doesn't take as much energy. I'm going to take it till it takes way more energy to stop yourself than it does to keep going. But that's somewhere along the line. We think our mind is the thing taking care of our emotions when it's our body that takes care of our emotions. So that's why moving the body is so important. Moving your breath. Moving your thoughts, creating flow, creating movement. So when we should never stop, because that's when the pain starts. Energy loves to move. Energy is in motion, emotion, energy in motion. And so we keep it moving. We don't close down. And yet we've been taught centuries as humans to close down.
Yeah.
To protect and defend. Protect, yeah. Defend. But the thing is, everyone thinks you can protect and defend yourself from pain. By the time your mind realizes there's pain and you do this, you're trapping the horse in the corral there. There's no, and so you're protecting and defending. That's what you think you're doing, but really you're trapping. Because now the pain happened. The mind said, oh, there's pain. Oh, and so you close the castle gates. And the enemy's sitting in there going, hey, I was already here by the time you recognize.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Right. Right.
And so there is no staying in the pain. There is presence in the pain. That's a different thing. There's no suffering in there. There's no staying in the pain. But boy, oh boy, presence in the pain, that's your ping pong game. That's when you're like, oh, I am here. I recognize I'm in pain. But I'm actually going to have a relationship with it, not try to avoid it, not try to stop it, not try to drink it away or drug it away or whatever. I'm going to have to become conscious to it. I'm going to actually have to sit by the river. I'm going to have to sit there and go, whoa, okay, here's the pain. And that's what I do with my clients. I mean, I see their what I call point of origin.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny. P-O-O. Your poo. So it's the stuff in the background you haven't eliminated. And so it's creating the cakes over and over and over. It's an ingredient that you don't even know is there. And it's making all your cakes taste horrible. And so when they come in and they sit down and I'm like, okay, what would you like? Some of them people know. They know what's going on. Sometimes they're like, I don't know why I came. I hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll say, well, let me just find out. And I will find it. It will just be there. It will be revealed to me. I wish I could tell you how, I can't. It's just sitting there. And I go, okay, well, I think it happened when you were five. And they're like, well, I don't remember anything, but we will always find it. We will find that point of origin. And when you take care of the energy at a point of origin, at the point of the suffering, it actually heals it forward and backward. So now it's because emotion isn't something that's in your past or your future. Emotion's always in your present.
Yeah.
And emotion is the thing that's going to heal that trauma, heal that suffering. And so we start changing our relationship with it, changing, reframing, finding a new way to look at it. We just keep changing our relationship with it, our perspective of that memory or that feeling or that thought or that idea or that story. And it moves the energy and it transforms it.
Isn't that though, really the magic, so to speak, and in the discovery process of it and what you've created? Because one of the things that I think you're talking about, and I would love for you to talk more about it, is somebody said to me a long time ago, Pat, you will always have one power, despite whatever you think has been taken away from you or you're never going to get, you will always have this one thing. And I remember them saying it to me, and I thought, this is just BS. Really? That's your message? But boy, did I come to know the truth about it. And they said, Pat, you'll always have the power to choose. Yes. You'll always have the power to choose. You'll always have the power to choose how you respond to something, how you react to something, how you react to life events, other people. You'll always have that power to choose. And I think that's part of what you're talking about. We have the power to choose another version of the story.
Always. There is always another version to the story. Our mind doesn't remember anything 100% detail, unless you have one of those beautiful eidetic memories, right? But in actuality, we are attached to the emotion of the experience, not to the details. So the more emotion you have to a story, to a past event, the actually more detail you have. And so that's what is the beautiful thing, is that you grab into on the emotional hooks, because the emotional hooks is what keeps it alive.
Yeah.
Present. Because emotions, again, are only experienced in the present. You can't remember anger. You can experience it. You can remember it because you've experienced it a lot of times, but you, as soon as you're actually experiencing anger, it's in the now moment. I always say in my book, be where your feet are. Because your feet are always in your present moment. They're never in your past or your future. So if you're ever wondering where you're at, you just look at your feet. Oh, that's where I'm at. If it's not happening where your feet are, it's not happening. And so it's important to remember to grab onto the emotional parts of it and to start looking at them from a different perspective, because that's how you'll unhook it. It's the emotions that keep it hooked in. It keeps them right there. And we can change our mind. Like I have this favorite quote, and it's on the homepage, and it's in my bio, and it's at the title of this event, of this talk we're having. And it's like, you don't decide who you are in the experience. The experience will decide who you are. 100% of the time, like it's without exception. It's like an absolute rule. So if I don't make a conscious decision who I want to be in the experience or the person or the event will decide for me. It has to be decided somehow. And so it will be decided for me. And this is the importance of presence and the importance of curiosity. And sometimes, you know, when you're in the middle of a tsunami, you can't stop and go, okay, well, how do I feel about the tsunami? No, you're having the experience. But as soon as the tsunami is over, you can, when you're safe again and you're on the other side of the experience, which is everything, you can take some perspective and go, well, now who do I want to be in response, as you said, to that? Not in reaction to it, but in response to it. And
yeah,
people think that's not accessible, but it is. That's 100% accessible to them at any given time. They can stop, take a breath. What do I want to be? Who do I want to be?
I love it. Look, I think I could listen to you forever. And I want to make sure that we let folks know, first of all, again, how they can get a copy of the book. So let's start with that. But also, more importantly, how do they find out more about you and also your radio show? I think that's important for us to make sure folks know how to do that.
Sure. So the book is on Amazon. And so you can look up Talking to Myself or Tanis T. McRae. There, the best place to go is kind of Tanis Central, which is my website. And that has everything on it. It has a link to the book, a link to the show, a link to sessions, a link to workshops. So everything is there. It's all up to date. Everything is on there. And so the book, if it's for you, if it finds you, finds you out into that big world, absolutely, that's where you can get it, is on Amazon or on the book page of my website. You can also, I have a extremely long explanation of what a session is. Seriously, if you have it on your phone, I apologize. It is like a mile long, but I very difficult for me to explain what I do because I don't do anything. It's not something I'm doing. It's something I'm being. I'm being present with you. I'm being excited with you. I'm being, I'm tailoring this to you. I don't have a set process. I go in with you in a session and I'm working with you. I'm not working with a cookie cutter process. I'm right there in the moment with you. And we're working what you need in that moment. Sometimes you think it's what you think, but sometimes it's not, it's something more. But we always put it together. The radio show, which I'm super excited about. Thank you,
yes.
Dr. Pat.
Yes.
So I have had one show so far. It was awesome.
That was crazy good. It was awesome. People should listen to that. Yeah, you should tell them about how to listen to the archive.
Right. So you can just go to, again, my website. There's a page there for the radio show. You can go to Transformation Talk Radio and look me up. I'm there. I was having a great conversation with Deborah Silverman, the astrologer. It was awesome. I mean, so many people got back to me and said, thank you. Thank you for reminding me.
I know.
Thank you. And then, of course, I have one of my favorite things. I mean, they're all my favorite things, workshops. There's a teacher in here. She doesn't go away. And so I love teaching. I have one coming up in February, starts on the 20th. It's 4 weeks long. It's called Sensitivity is a Superpower. And this is all about emotional well-being. So this is about really tapping into how do I have a different relationship with my emotions? And it's about staying open and not closing down. That's my first one that's coming up. I'd only take a small amount of people because I'm very hands-on.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that soon. Then my next one is in March, and it's called Trust Your Intuition. And that's all about talking to myself. That's all about listening.
I love it.
To the information that's coming through your intuition for you, not for everybody else, for you. And really paying and trusting the universe, trusting the cake making process, right? That's all about the intuition. And it's all about how we need to be relaxed and to breathe. And then the last one is in April, May, June, because it's 6 weeks long.
Wow.
This is a very long course because it's called Walking Through Shadow.
Oh.
And this is all about standing in your fear without being afraid. It's about sitting in your fears and not being afraid. So powerful.
Oh, yeah. Juicy. You have to be able to do that. But boy, it is something that you need to learn.
It is.
It is.
And to give you the tools to do that safely, if you will. There's not really anything.
Exactly.
But to do it with efficiency and effectiveness, right?
Yeah.
And I'll probably talk about it more. I think I forgot to say that my radio shows, Talking to Tanis, are on the first and third Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific.
Yes.
11 a.m. Mountain, where I am. And then noon Central and 1 o'clock Eastern. And if you don't catch me live, the archives are there. They're on Transformation Talk Radio. They're on my website, TanisMcRae.com or TalkingToTanis.com. You'll get there. Two trains go to the same station.
It's what I love.
So, yeah, did I answer all your questions there?
No, you got them all. I wanted to make sure we got them all in. I want to thank you for today. I think I've got 30 seconds left, but I want to use it. I would love to know your personal message. I'd love to know what you want to leave us with today.
If you don't decide who you are, in the experience. The experience will decide who you are. So decide. Just even if it takes you somewhere into a cake you don't like, it's juicy.
Yeah, just do it. At least you can say you were in the cake.
You were making the cake. You were paying attention.
Tanis McRae, everybody. I'm Dr. Pat. You're going to hear lots more from Tanis. And please, please go check out the show she did. It is so informative and nonstop. Thank you all for tuning us in and turning us on. We'll see you next time.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.